continue our reading of the Bible together, Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus 9. Now it came about on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, "Take for yourself a calf, a bull for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, both without defect, and offer them before the Lord. Then to the sons of Israel you shall speak, saying, 'Take a male goat for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both 1 year old without defect, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings, to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord shall appear to you.' So they took what Moses had commanded to the front of the tent of meeting, and the whole congregation came near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, 'This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you.' Moses then said to Aaron, 'Come near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, that you may make atonement for yourself and for the people. Then make the offering for the people, that you may make atonement for them, just as the Lord has commanded.' So Aaron came near to the altar and slaughtered the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And Aaron's sons presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put some on the horns of the altar and poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. The fat and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver of the sin offering he then offered up in smoke on the altar, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the skin, however, he burned with fire outside the camp. Then he slaughtered the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. And they handed the burnt offering to him in pieces with the head, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. He also washed the entrails and the legs, and offered them up in smoke with the burnt offering on the altar. Then he presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and slaughtered it and offered it for sin like the first. He also presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. Next he presented the grain offering and filled his hand with some of it and offered it up in smoke on the altar besides the burnt offering of the morning. Then he slaughtered the ox and the ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around on the altar. As for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breasts, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breasts and the right thigh Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." Thus reads God's word. Leviticus 9:6. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." In this morning's reading, we once again receive the revelation that the glory of the Lord was in evidence within the obedient service of the chosen people of God. As they obeyed and did those things that God commanded, He showered upon them the visible expression of His satisfaction in their midst. He made it very evident that their service rendered unto Him was received and accepted through the manifested glory that encompassed that worship. Sometimes, as we will read, His glory was so magnificent that the priests and the people could not remain in the immediate presence of it. They were forced to retreat from His glory simply because it was overwhelming in its breadth and magnitude and intensity. It would have destroyed them if they had remained because it was so awesomely beyond the capability of humanity to bear it all. What we will consider today is the certainty that the glory of God is something that can be experienced in fullness and in reality by those who so honor the Lord with their reverent and obedient hearts, which desire to bring glory to His name. As that is evident and apparent in the manner that lives are lived before God, with the Lord as the focal point and His utmost honor as the goal, so will His glory encompass and give expression to His satisfied heart in the relationship that is established between man and his Creator. The passages of the Old Testament that we will explore give tremendous detail to the fact that the people were able to see and understand that the glory of God is not some abstract thing in a nebulous environment. It is very real, and it is very much inherent in the manner in which God guided and protected them. This was in evidence, as recorded in Exodus 13, 21 and 22, as God's glory was seen in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which guided the children of Israel throughout the wilderness. Exodus 13, 21 and 22. And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. All the people could see the glory of God in the pillar of His presence which went before them. God showed them the way through a most visible presentation of His glory, covering and directing their every step. This was also the case when the people began to grumble about their lack of food in Exodus chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. There, the glory of God was shown to the wandering nation as the Lord made known that He would supply their every need, including both quail and manna, to feed them for those 40 years of traveling. Exodus 16, 10 through 12. And it came about, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. As well, the glory of God was extremely evident when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, as recounted in Exodus 24, 16 and 17. Here, the cloud of the glory of God covered the mountain and looked like fire to the Israelites below. Exodus 24, 16 and 17. And the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, He called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. A key aspect of this vision of the glory of God as fire is the inherent truth that His glory is a refining fire bringing forth His holiness in our lives. It will burn away any impurity of heart and mind and soul as we experience His indwelling glory in action. What they saw on the mountain is manifested in the life of Jesus Christ, who now lives forth from us. We do know when God is pleased with our walk before Him. His glory does work in us to deal with every area of our being, especially that which is not pleasing to Him. It is like a fiery cauldron of the refiner's handiwork in action. This vision of the fire on the mountain represented the truth that God's glory is never to be taken lightly or appraised as less than completely effective in the course of its utter refinement of our hearts and minds. We again see the glory of God as the guiding and protecting pillar of cloud in evidence every time that Moses went into the tent of meeting with the Lord, as we recently read in Exodus 33, 9 and 10. Exodus 33, 9 and 10. And it came about, whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Please notice how the fact that the cloud representing the glory of God caused not only the people to stop what they were doing and watch as Moses went into the tent to meet with the Lord, but it also elicited their worship unto the Lord at the entrance of each tent. The revealed glory of God made the people desire to worship the Lord. They offered Him praise and adoration for the fact that He was so gracious and long-suffering, and that He supplied their every need. All the people would arise and worship. That is something that can only happen when people see and know that God's glory is in their midst. His glory will always bring forth the praise and worship of those who know Him. Then in Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35, we see just how important it was to God that the people desired to have Him in their presence by constructing the tabernacle of God. And they did so exactly as He instructed. They gave so willingly and in such abundance in order to fulfill the every requirement as stipulated by the direction of God. When everything had been perfectly built and constructed, and the sacrifices were offered willingly and in profusion, the glory of the Lord descended upon the tabernacle, and descended in such power that none could enter, not even Moses. Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Next, we return to our morning's reading, Leviticus 9:23 and 24, with respect to the manner in which Aaron and his sons were consecrated unto the Lord with the sacrifices and in all the preparation as directed by God. When they had fulfilled and prepared everything in accordance with all that the Lord required, he consumed those sacrifices with his holy fire from heaven. Again, the glory of God was revealed to all the people in the form of God's consuming fire. Leviticus 9:23 and 24. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Please note the effect this had on the people. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. The visible presentation of the Lord's glory caused them to shout and to prostrate themselves before the Lord. There was the immediate recognition that they were not worthy to stand erect in the presence of the most holy and awesome Lord God Almighty. He was willing to reside before them in the tabernacle with His glory, as represented by the fire and the smoke, but they had to honor His holiness and His righteousness with their humble and evident acknowledgement that He alone deserved all praise and all adoration. We next consider the manner in which the Lord blessed the people with His glory, as recorded in 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11. This was at the dedication of the temple, which King Solomon built for the Lord. Just as with the tent of meeting, so also the Lord's glory was so forceful that the priests were unable to minister at their appointed tasks. 1 Kings 8, 10 and 11. And it came about, when the priest came from the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Again, the Lord was blessed by the faithfulness and by the desire of the people to supply all that was needed in abundance in order for the temple of the Lord to be built in Jerusalem. They gave evidence to the fact that they wanted God to be in their midst. And it was with the full measure of all that was required to build and to maintain the temple. This scene is more profoundly detailed in 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14, where the manner of the praise of the priests and the people is expressed. 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14. And when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions, and all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison, when the trumpeteers and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, then the house the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. We must never forget that the Lord does respond to the praises of His people. He inhabits their praise more than He inhabits any particular place. Even in these examples of His glory so filling the tabernacle and the temple, it was because His people were offering Him their utmost and sincere and joyful worship. We are encouraged in this by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5, if you would please turn to it. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah makes it very evident that the glory of God is not only seen by His people, but it is expressed through His people unto the nations. Isaiah 60, 1 through 5. Arise, shine. For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This is the evident expression of the Lord's glory upon His people. His glory is expressed in the life and the worship and the adoration of those who know and honor Him. In Habakkuk 2:14, we're told that all the earth will be filled with the knowledge of His glory. Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The truth is that it will be through the testimony of His people that all creation will be shown the glory of God in Jesus Christ. As He lives forth in the lives of His own redeemed, so will it be a growing chorus of praise and worship unto God, building to the crescendo of ultimate joyous celebration that God has chosen to so bless His people with salvation, with faithfulness, and with loving kindness. All will be witnesses to the united song declaring that the Lord alone is worthy of all praise and adoration and honor and glory, now and forevermore. And finally, for this morning, before we leave this deliberation on the revealed glory of God, let us remind ourselves of the refining work of God's glory as detailed in 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is very evident in the course of our daily walk on this earth. As His glory was seen as fire on the mountain, And as the devouring fire consuming the sacrifices at the dedication of the tabernacle, so is His glory opened in our hearts and our minds through those working expressions as He causes us to become more and more livingly in line with the true nature of Christ who now indwells us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. It is the glory of God in our lives that works to bring forth that praise and that adoration in the manner in which we live before Him on this earth. As we obey Him, and as we do all that He directs, so will we see greater and greater measures of His glory surrounding us every moment of every day. It will not be some abstract and hierarchical philosophical statement of dogma. His glory will be the focal point, and it will be the evident treasure that we seek on this earth, as it will be so fully shown in heaven. So be it. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded you to do, that the glory of the Lord may appear to you." Amen.